anyone looking for a good used machine tool should talk to Noel Dempsey, a dealer in Richmond, Virginia. Noel's bustling warehouse is full of metal lathes, milling machines, and table saws, and it turns out that much of it once resided in schools. eBay is awash in such equipment, also from schools. Most of this stuff has been kicking around the second-hand market for about 15 years. It was in the 1990s that shop class started to become a thing of the past, as educators prepared students to become knowledge workers. The disappearance of tools from our common education is the first step toward a wider ignorance of the world of artifacts we inhabit. And in fact, an engineering culture has developed in recent years in which the object is to hide the works, rendering many of the devices we depend on every day unintelligible to direct inspection. Lift the hood on some cars now, especially German ones, and the engine appears a bit like the shimmering, featureless obelisk that so enthralled the proto-humans in the opening scene of the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. Essentially, there is another hood under the hood. This creeping concealedness takes various forms. The fasteners holding small appliances together now often require esoteric screwdrivers not commonly available, apparently to prevent the curious or the angry from interrogating the innards. By way of contrast, older readers will recall that until recent decades, Sears catalogs included blown-up parts diagrams and conceptual schematics for all appliances and many other mechanical goods. It was simply taken for granted that such information would be demanded by the consumer. A decline in tool use would seem to betoken a shift in our relationship to our own stuff, more passive and more dependent. And indeed, there are fewer occasions for the kind of spiritedness that is called forth when we take things in hand for ourselves, whether to fix them or to make them. What ordinary people once made, they buy. And what they once fixed for themselves, they replace entirely or hire an expert to repair, whose expert fix often involves replacing an entire system because some minute component has failed. In this book, I would like to speak up for an ideal that is timeless but finds little accommodation today: manual competence and the stance it entails toward the built material world. Neither as workers nor as consumers are we much called upon to exercise such competence, most of us anyway, and merely to recommend its cultivation is to risk the scorn of those who take themselves to be the most hard-headed. The hard-headed economist will point out the opportunity costs of spending one's time making what can be bought. And the hard-headed educator will say that it is irresponsible to educate the young for the trades, which are somehow identified as jobs of the past. But we might pause to consider just how hard-headed these presumptions are, and whether they don't, on the contrary, issue from a peculiar sort of idealism, one that insistently steers young people toward the most ghostly kinds of work. Around 1985, articles began to appear in education journals with such titles as "The Soaring Technology Revolution" and "Preparing Kids for High Tech and the Global Future." Of course, there is nothing new about American futurism. What is new is the wedding of futurism to what might be called virtualism, a vision of the future in which we somehow take leave of material reality and glide about in a pure information economy. New, and yet not so new. For 50 years now, we've been assured that we are headed for a post-industrial society. While manufacturing jobs have certainly left our shores to a disturbing degree, the manual trades have not. If you need a deck built or your car fixed, the Chinese are of no help because they are in China. And in fact, there are chronic labor shortages in both construction and auto repair. Yet the trades and manufacturing have long been lumped together in the mind of the pundit class as blue collar, and their requiem is intoned. More recently, this consensus has begun to show signs of cracking. In 2006, the Wall Street Journal wondered whether skilled, manual labor is becoming one of the few sure paths to a good living.